said, "He hath spoken blasphemy." Then Pilate said, in John chapter 19 and verse 16, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified." Both Jew and Gentile were equally guilty of crucifying the Lord of glory. The cross condemns them both. Both representatives of these different people acquiesced in our Lord's death and nailed him to the cross. The natural heart is the same in all men, and the cross brings out as nowhere else the reality and intensity of man's innate enmity against God. The Gentile says the Jews did it. The Jew says the Gentiles did it. The truth is that it was our total humanity that did it. And the cross did but interpret the God-hating nature of man's fallen and sinful state. Look first at Caiaphas the Jew. It was Caiaphas who finally condemned the Lord, and the unbelief that was manifest in that man was but expressive of what was in the whole nation. Israel's historic woes have stemmed from that unbelief, with the acceptance of the sad consequence: his blood be upon us and on our children. In such words, the leaders of the nation, and especially the responsible high priest Caiaphas, brought down the curse of the law upon themselves and upon their children. For the law clearly stated, "The land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it." Again, "His blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." That is, the blood of the innocent was to fall upon the head of those that slew the innocent. Yet in the face of God's love, of which they were the custodians, they exposed themselves to the full curse of the law upon every Hebrew yet to be born. Jewish unbelief is fully expressed in Caiaphas and is identified with what the rulers of Jewry did that day. In the continued unbelief of their generation, there is an approval of their ancient rulers' deed. It is an acquiescence in that hatred which crucified the Lord Jesus, and in their rejection of him as the Son of God, and in their denial that he was in any way their Savior. The cross is the Jewish estimate of our Lord's worth to them. Judas had sold him for 30 pieces of silver. The frenzied mob had cried for a robber and a murderer to be released rather than Jesus, when custom decreed that one should be freed. To Jewry, the cross was the only thing fit for Jesus. It is a bewildering sight to see a Jew hand over one of his own people to a Gentile. One of the miracles of the ages has been the cohesion of Israel, the manner in which they have held together through centuries of history. Here, they not only hand one of their own to the Gentile, but insist upon a Gentile death by crucifixion. In doing so, the Jew was pressing hatred to its furthest extent, that they regarded him an utter outcast of Israel, and so much so that they counted him not fit even to die by the Jewish method of stoning. when Titus, the Roman general, sacked the city of Jerusalem in AD 70, it is said that he crucified 30,000 Jews on crosses around the walls of the city. How the words of the rulers must have rung out in the corridors of their consciences. His blood be upon us. From that moment, the whole nation was vomited out of the land of Palestine and scattered among the Gentiles, where for nigh 2,000 years now, no people has been more despised, persecuted, and maltreated, thus bringing to pass the curse upon their children. They have been homeless and alien. Every unbelieving Jew crucifies the Son of God afresh and puts him to open shame. By his own unbelief, he has personal responsibility for inheriting the curse of his fathers. Now look at Pilate, the Gentile. Pilate was the representative of the Gentiles and of the government of the world, known as the times of the Gentiles, which began when God gave world dominion into the hands of the king of Babylon in 605 or 6 BC. The fourth great Gentile power to possess world dominion was Rome. And Rome had subdued the Jews and usurped the land of Israel at this time. Pilate was then the Roman governor. He was probably one of the most able men of his day. And the one Roman most acquainted with Jewish custom and law. No doubt, because of his detestation for the Jews, he took sides with Jesus and apparently did all he could to contradict the indictment of the Jews against our Lord. This is not to be interpreted as Pilate having any faith, either in the person or the message of the Lord Jesus, but rather as having an intense hatred of the Jews. The governor therefore insisted on the innocence of Jesus, saying, "I find no fault in him." In this he may well have spoken with the utmost sincerity. None could convict our Lord of sin, either in thought, word, or deed. Never did he have to sacrifice blood for himself, as did the high priest of Jewry. He needed no covering of sacrificial blood when standing before God. He did not belong to Adam's fallen race. He came into the world by a biological miracle of the Holy Ghost, as the head of a new race, from which would spring a new generation, quite different from that which the scripture describes as a generation of vipers. He came to impart a new life to believing men, and so to make them a new and chosen generation. Pilate recognized something of this superior quality of life in Christ when he cried to the Jews, "Behold the man, Eki Homo." Or as it may read, "What a man, what a man." As though he was acknowledging that here was an ideal man, a perfect man, the kind of man that all men should have been. Of all this high praise of Pilate suddenly came crashing down when the Jews cried, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." John 19 and verse 12. That cry created a new issue. Christ or self-interest? Christ or position? Christ or reputation? And Pilate loved self more than he loved God. This is the real malignity of sin. It exalts self above all that is called God. It esteems self of more value than the Son of God, and thus more to be defended. So it was that Pilate, to save his own skin, delivered up Jesus to be crucified. Pilate either had to deny self or deny Christ, to reject his own claim or the claims of Christ, to crucify the flesh or crucify Christ. He did what all Gentiles do, and he did it as the representative of all Gentiles. He delivered up Christ to be crucified. Finally, look at believers in him. There is only one other kind of people to be found in Scripture. It is a company of people who have come forth from both these God-despising people, because they have been taught by the Spirit of God the evil of the natural heart and the immensity of unbelief which lurks in every secret corner of that heart. They have cried out against themselves, are ashamed of the cross and the sins that drove the Lord Jesus to it and pierced him there. They have knelt at the Savior's feet. They have received him whom the world, both Jew and Gentile, rejected. They are neither Jew nor Gentile now, but a new creation people through faith in him who, in being crucified by men, wrought out God's plan for our redemption. Listen to the words of Mary Walker. When we behold the Lamb of God, beneath our sin's tremendous load, expiring on the accursed tree, how great our guilt with grief we see. There we with joy thy grace behold. Its height and depth can ne'er be told. It bursts our chains and sets us free, and sweetly draws our souls to thee. The cross reveals thy love below, but better soon our hearts shall know, when we behold thy face above, the fullness of our Father's love. Amen. And amen.